The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
I just came up with. Here's a treat for you.
All day long, I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn.
Don't make me catch more catfish. Okay, thank you. Where did I put it? It's up here. Don't worry, I'll find it. It's up on the screen here. It is Japan, 126 million people, 40 cases. That's it. On 40 deaths. And here's a treat for you. Did you know the oldest national, a little bit of Japanese lore here. I took Japanese in college for a while, and I studied Japanese Buddhism, Zen Buddhism. I studied that for a while. Got pretty good in both. And a lot of respect for Japanese civilization. And I think we can look to the Japanese for a way to survive as our own people, our own European people. Do as the Japanese have done. Did you know, of course, we like our national anthem, and we are the oldest elected government in the world. But you know the oldest national anthem in the world is the Japanese. Listen to this. Here is their national anthem, and I'm going to give you the Japanese and then the English because it connects with what I'm saying about making America great again is that we stay America. Not that we make a lot of money, that we stay who we are. So here's the Japanese national anthem. Kimigayo. Kimigayo. And anybody out there who's, you know, it must have been many years since I took Japanese, so I could be way off in some of my pronunciation, but anybody who's fluent right now in Japanese, you can call in and correct me. Especially if you're Japanese, then you're an authority. Here's Kimigayo, the oldest national anthem on earth. Written by an unnamed poet in the Heian period, which was about 800 to 1100 AD. So what were we doing back then? Well, that's about the period that Charles Martel, just after the period in which Charles Martel was saving our civilization from the Arab horde that was invading Europe in Poitiers. Let me play it for you here. Okay, why didn't that work? Here it is. Okay, that wasn't that beautiful? And now I'm going to play a vocal rendition of that. Hang on. You'll get your money's worth here. This is worth listening to. This is inspiring to us. We need to learn. isn't that pretty? And here's what it says. Here's what it says, and this is a lesson for us. What the Japanese say in their national anthem? I'll give you the English first, because I'm starving you with that Japanese. The English translation, Kimi Gayo, is how it starts out. May your reign continue for 8,000 generations until the tiny pebbles grow into massive boulders lush with moss. Now that's one hell of a national anthem. Because what did they just say? Eternity. May your reign, that is the reign of the Japanese emperor, and maybe we need an emperor. How about Emperor Trump? I like that. We need a national leader who's pledged to keeping his reign, that is the reign of his people. The Japanese are not singing, may you, emperor, live for 8,000 generations. May your reign, that is your sovereignty, your people, continue for 8,000 generations. I like that. 8,000 generations. If you consider a generation to be, what, about 25 years? What's 8,000 of those? Some math genius out there. What's 8,000 times 100 would be 800,000 years. That is 200,000 years. I'm liking that. 200,000 years of America. Now that's the way to set a target. And then the Japanese of that is Kimi Gayo wa, may your reign, Chiyo ni Yachiyo ni, continue for 8,000 generations. Yachiyo must be, well, Sazere Ishino, until the tiny pebbles, Iwa to Narite, grow into massive boulders, Koke no Musumade, lush with moss. Hey, you Japanese speakers out there, how did I do? Did I butcher it? I got an A in Japanese at UCLA, but as I say, how long has that been? My gosh, that's been more than 50 years. Yow. But I wish it were 8,000 generations. That's what we need. That's the time frame we need. And so Japan. Now, let's ask the question. Why does Japan have only 40 deaths? They're right next to China. A lot of trade with, you know, China and the neighbors of China. And by the way, what's the next island down from Japan? The next big island. What is it? Taiwan. Right off the Formosa Strait. I guess we're not allowed to call it the Formosa Strait anymore. Taiwan. You know how many deaths Taiwan has with 24 million people? And they're all Chinese, by the way. They have two deaths. And I'll bet you they're 80 years old. So what do they do? What did both the Taiwanese, Chinese, and the Japanese do differently? Well, first of all, they're really clean. Secondly, they're really civilized. Thirdly, they're homogeneous. They're organized. They are a people. They're not a block party. They're not just a whole bunch of people going to South Beach, you know, and let's bring in all the Haitians, you know, all the, hey, I used to live there in South Florida. The Haitians would wash up on shore swimming, coming in rafts. You know, we're taking the whole population of Haiti. What the hell is that? Japan will never do something stupid like that. But the point is, they are a people. Who are other peoples that have very low well, we're doing pretty well with only 400. We're not the worst in the world at all. There's a lot to American civilization. Up here in North Dakota, hey, we're kind of like Japan. You know how many deaths we have in North Dakota? Zero. You know how many cases we have? Total. In this whole state, 26. Yeah. You know how many we have in the counties, eight counties surrounding me right now? Zero cases, zero deaths. And we have several big hospitals here. How many cases? None. I had occasion to walk into the emergency room the other day, unrelated to, not me, but I, something unrelated took me into the emergency room at our big hospital here. Guess how many people were in there? This is yesterday. Yeah, it was Friday. Guess how many people were, you know, nice, busy day Friday. Guess how many people were in the emergency room? Guess how many patients were in the emergency room? Big emergency room. Very well staffed. 2 dozen staff in there, easily. Zero. I was the only person, and this is, you know, 10 a.m., busy hour. No, nobody. So, reason to get hysterical? Were they lined up around the corner? People dying of coronavirus, falling, dropping like flies, pus oozing out of body orifices? No. No reason for hysteria. So I guess I'm going in several directions at once. It's complex, but it's a unified picture. I think I've got it down for me anyway. I've integrated what I'm thinking about the coronavirus. The thing I'm happy about, Donald Trump appears to be surviving it very well. And he's being very strong, and he's a brilliant, brilliant guy. He's playing chess, multi-level chess. He's out. Who's that great chess player that was an American? That brilliant, iconoclastic, kind of weird guy. I love him. Bobby Fischer. Donald Trump is the Bobby Fischer of politics. I mean, nobody can compete against him. Bobby Fischer smoked his opponents. Those Russian guys that he played, Bobby Fischer made him look like fools because he had that American trait of being, yes, he's a Jewish guy. Yes. he had an imagination. Man, that guy was a genius. And that's what Donald Trump's doing in politics. He is just smoking the opposition. And I think he's doing it on this, too. I know I've given him my know-it-all advice. You know, you should have done this. You should have done that, Mr. President. Shouldn't listen to Dr. Birx. You shouldn't listen to Dr. Fauci. These people are all obsessed with bugs and germs and washing your hands. And they don't understand that you can't crash an economy. That has health consequences, too. I'm not going to sell myself as a know-it-all. I'm never going to say I know better than Donald Trump. I'm not going to say it any more than I would say, hey, Bobby Fischer, you want to play chess for money with me? No, I'm never going to say that to Bobby. He's gone, sadly. But what an interesting guy Bobby Fischer was. Anyway, as so many geniuses are. Let's see. If you want to call in, 800-313-9443. I hope the reason that you're not calling in is that you're just spellbound by my rhetoric and my compelling logic. And you're riveted, frozen in your chair. Don't tell me it's because you're bored to death. But anyway, if you want to call in, do so. We've got time on Sunday. We've got another 45 minutes. By the way, Let me just see. Let me look around here, folks. I don't want to say anything until I get there. Hang on. Let's see. Where is it? Did I lose it? I thought I had it. Here we go. Let's just see if it's there. Let's take a look. Take a little bit more. Just a second and we'll get there. I'm navigating to a location for you. Oh, waiting for the event to begin. I'm at the website here of the president's coronavirus press conference, and it's saying it's not here yet. Now, I might be on the wrong link. It could be the situation. 3:30 Eastern. Yeah, 3:30 Eastern. Anyway, I'm not seeing it. It's is, oh, it says it started streaming 4 minutes ago. Let me just try it again here. Waiting for the event to begin. And yeah, there's 19,000 people on this channel that I'm on YouTube. There are 19,000 people just like me sitting here waiting for this to begin. And this is the Fox News channel. So I'm just like a lot of other people. Boy, they've got 4.5 million subscribers. They're not up to Donald Trump's level yet of 70, I don't know what, 70 some million subscribers. So we'll hang in here. Some of these coronavirus task force briefings have been significantly delayed. Took a while for them to come out. They meet, you know, it's a pretty large task force, and they come out en masse. And lately, I think yesterday, they met sitting down, spaced out around their table, you know, with 6 feet between people. And America is watching these briefings, and they're liking what they're seeing, and they're liking President Trump. And as I say to you, we can recover from a complete crash of the American economy. I'll tell you what, you know, from the stories that I hear, well, my parents are gone now, but that I heard from my parents who lived through the Great Depression. They were little children then, and, you know, young teenagers. And they lived through the Great Depression. And from what I have hear from them, and I heard from them, and from my grandparents who are also gone. Of course, I'm 71. Come on. We don't live forever. You know what? America in the Great Depression, when people were selling apples on the corner and selling pencils to get food, to get some potatoes to feed their children. That America was greater than this America. Now, I have to explain myself, and I don't want to go into a dissertation, but I mean by that the ethnic, moral, civilizational, generational, genetic fiber, substance of America in 1932, 1934 was better than what we have today. And if I could switch again, you know, that two button thing, if I had the two buttons, you could go, okay, Jamie, if you press this button, you go to 2020 and a stock market at 30,000 S&P 500, or you press this button over here and you go to the bottom of the mine. I'd press the bottom of the mine button if I could get that old America back. We'll be right back, folks.
Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John. Big
John. Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I don't even understand the lyrics. I got to go look them up. What a great song. Anyway, I got callers. Let me look down here. The engineer is waking me up here to the callers. Oh, my gosh. John in Rancho Cucamonga, really? Is he there? Oh, my gosh. John in Rancho Cucamonga, would you please call back? Please call back. I used to live in Rancho Cucamonga. People think that's a joke, that name. I used to live there. And it was a pretty nice little town once in a long ago. That was a pretty nice little town right up against the mountains there in L.A. Rancho Cucamonga. John, please call back. And then we got Dr. Kelly in Lake Tahoe, another fine place that used to be even finer. Wayne in Texas and Fred in Iowa. Sorry, I didn't see you, folks. Let's go first to Dr. Kelly in the absolutely the most beautiful lake in the world, Lake Tahoe. Hi, Dr. Kelly.
Hey, Kelso. The 10-year-olds, or at least they said they were 10-year-old boys in Russia, could kick my butt at chess, you know, like virtual internet chess when I was in college. And yeah, that might have been a little insulting, but I was like, hey, listen here, you little grommet. I can surf better than you, I can beat your arm wrestling, and I'm going to be a doctor in a few more years.
Yeah.
So whenever I needed Russians, to...
Those Russians, you know, have a lake that's got a similarity to your Lake Tahoe, which is Lake Baikal, which is like Lake Tahoe. People don't realize it, that Lake Tahoe, I forget, but it's something like 2,000 feet deep.
Yeah, like 1,600 feet deep, and I'm fixing to go fishing and break the record and get like a 38-pound Mackinac for dinner.
And that depth, folks, when you look at Lake Tahoe, it's one of just the miracles of California. And if we lose California as part of our, you know, we should have had as our national anthem, our founders should have said, may our people reign for 8,000 generations, that's 200,000 years. And if we thought that way, we'd never allow ourselves to lose a gem like Lake Tahoe. 2,000 feet deep, folks, as you say, 1,600, I guess I got that, remembered a little wrong. But folks, what does that mean? That lake is not as, it looks big on the map, But because it's so deep, it's way deeper than any other lake in America, a big percentage of all the fresh water in all of America is in that one lake. Can you believe it? And it's so clear, it isn't as beautiful as it once was, but you can put like a, they have a way of putting a pie plate down, you know, in the water on a rope. And you measure how far down can you lower it and still see it, still read the black and white on the pie plate. And, you know, you could see in Tahoe, I forget what it is, but, I mean, way below 40 feet, couldn't you, Dr. Kelly?
Yeah, it's about 70 feet. And if you're diving in the lake, you can see what color the surf trunks are up at the surface from about the same depth.
Yeah, folks, that's unimaginable. To see that far through water, and it's wonderful. When you're there, it's just a wonderful experience. I hate to give up Lake Tahoe, Dr. Kelly. So, actually, I studied there's a Buddhist monastery that was Japanese Buddhist in a place called Tosa. Talk about California here. I don't know if you know this spot, Dr. Kelly, but just behind Big Sur, there's a place called Tassajara Hot Springs. And this is just behind that famous Big Sur that's so beautiful. Oh, Big Sur is so beautiful. And you hike inland, and I did. I hiked on foot as a teenager with a backpack, just a bunch of, sunflower seeds and stuff to eat. And I hiked back in there to the Tassajara Hot Springs Zen Monastery. And it was a genuine with a... I'm trying to remember what the Roshi's name was. Roshi, I think Suzuki. I don't know. But it's been too long. But I'll tell you what, that Japanese tea ceremony with the green tea and the civilization that the Japanese built, quite a magnificent thing. And they are going to keep it, folks. The Japanese are not going to get suckered the way we have been into the believing the kumbaya that we are a nation of immigrants. BS. We're Europeans who relocated and we pioneered America from our home location in England and Scotland and Norway and France and Italy. And, this is our home. We're not a nation of immigrants. The Japanese would never buy such bunkum. And and it's in their national anthem. You just heard it. May your reign last 8,000 generations. That's the way to think. The way we're thinking now, those people on South Beach, they're thinking, I'll be happy if we last one generation. That's not the way to think.
Right on, Kelso.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Kelly, stick with us. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, Before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Some folks call me a rambling man. I do a lot of thumbing and kicking cans, and it wouldn't do an ounce of good to call my name. 'Cause daddy's name wasn't Willie Woodrow, and I wasn't born and raised in no ghetto. Just a white boy looking for a place to do my thing. Well, I'm out to find me a wealthy woman in a line of work that don't take no diploma. I ain't got much to lose, but got a lot to gain. Here, some might call me a good time fella.
I ain't yellow. Hey, we're here and having a good time here. Now, guess what? You're right, engineer. The president's press conference is scheduled to begin right now. I think it's going right now. Let's go take a listen. Hang on. Stick with me. Let's just see if it's live right now. I think it is. Let me hit refresh. If they're on time, they're live. Waiting for it to just load for us here. Let's see what goes on. There are now 45,000 people on this website waiting to hear this. Waiting for event to begin. It was scheduled to begin a couple of minutes ago, so we are waiting for it to begin. By the way, Dr. Kelly, are you there?
Yeah, Kelso, and I wanted to let you know
I covered
a really important, timely topic yesterday on my show, The Grand Jury Reawakening. I went over Thymol, T-H-Y-M-O-L, and the herb thyme, and it was used as hospital disinfectant. And was just wondering if you caught my, if you got out of the hospital in time to catch my show and what happened.
The hospital there? No, I was there for just an unrelated reason. It was interesting to see. It was just a ghost town. It was nobody in there, nothing going on. And by the way, up here in North Dakota, for you people out there, you're in some areas, I can understand a freak out. I mean, it must be nervous being back where I grew up in Santa Monica, California. It must be pretty nervous time right now. With that governor, what's-his-face, Newsom, shutting everything down. Oh my gosh, that guy is such a pretentious ass.
What a nuisance, totally not qualified to diagnose, to treat, to prescribe, to do anything. And
it's terrible.
To idiots,
but you know,
to vote.
Let me tell you how it should be, folks. Up here in North Dakota, when you say virus in North Dakota, the reply is what virus? What virus? We were shocked that the newspapers had a story of one person who tested positive. He'd flown to the East Coast, and he came back. And somehow that caused him, when he got back here, he tested positive for being exposed to the virus when he went to the East Coast. That's it. Well, no, that was it. Now we've had more. We have 20 some who tested positive now. No case, nobody sick, and nobody, certainly nobody dead in North Dakota. And we are a small state. There are only 700,000 of us. We are actually.
Yeah, and it's a great state to live in, you know, because there's lots of retired, super skilled applied kinesiology chiropractors. And I actually had an experience before I even went into clinic where I had somebody with an appendix issue, an appendicitis, and I called this retired doctor, went through the protocol of treatment, actually took the patient to their doctor and a hospital because I could hardly believe my eyes and ears that it worked and they were repaired and restored and didn't need to get cut open, didn't need to get drugged, didn't need to get burned. And I think that we will fare very well through this, those of us that are healthy anyway.
Well, the big news today, Dr. Kelly, directly to your point, the big news today from the mouth of a real, talk about an idiot, Governor Newsom of California, the Mayor de Blasio of New York City, and he was stunned himself. He said, they've got thousands of cases in New York, and then that is positive test results. And then the number of deaths, let me go look it up, how many people have died in New York. I was born in New York City, by the way, folks. I'll admit it. like Merle Haggard sings that song. Well, I've said a few things, and I'll admit it. Well, I was born in New York City, and I'll admit it.
No, Kelso, I was born in San Francisco, and it's so funny to venture a couple of states in, you know, Utah or whatever, and they're like, San Francisco? What are you doing out here?
I was born in Manhattan, on Fifth Avenue at a fancy hospital back in those days when part of my family had money. But my dad was a student in Brooklyn at Pratt Institute as a GI on the GI Bill after the war. And after being in the U.S. Army Air Corps, I think it was Truman that created the Air Force. But Donald Trump has created the Space Force. But now let's see. Well, let's go over here to let's hit refresh again here and see what's going on. See what's going on. I hate to run you through this, folks, but, you know, I'll tell you what. You'd rather listen to Donald Trump than James Kelso, I hope. Let's see here. Oh, okay. The engineer's going to tell me when it comes on. Beautiful. Yeah, I'm on the Fox channel on YouTube. And then we're going to. Well, Dr. Kelly, I'm going to. Boy, you and I could just talk California stories for hours. But I looked it up during the break. It was, in fact, Roshi Suzuki, the guy that led the Zen Tassajara Zen Center. Which is not even reachable on a paved road. And I hiked in. But I'm telling you, a little hats off today to the Japanese, who, if you're wondering, how do we get out of this mess that we're in, ladies and gentlemen? How do we save our people? How do we make America great again? Well, I'll tell you what. All of us, including Donald Trump, can take a leaf out of the book of the Japanese. And the way is to, and this is Donald Trump's greatest achievement, is to create a movement where we, as a people, we're one in his rallies, and may they come back soon. He says we are one, bam, we are one great, this is the way he says it. And he repeats it over and over again as if it's he's invoking an incantation, as if he's saying a formula for you. He says, we are one great movement. And he says it slowly like that. From his one great family, one great people. What's he saying? He ends his rallies with that. One great movement, one family, one people. Well, that's what the Japanese are. They are that right now, today. And whether their economy goes up or goes down, whether the yen goes up or goes down, whether they have some dumbass leaders that start a second world war in the Pacific or not, they can survive it. They could survive crazy leaders like Hirohito and whoever the other, Tojo and these other stupid bastards that ran China, ran Japan. They could survive that because they're a people and they stay that way. So that in their national anthem, they expect to reign, their people to reign for 8,000 generations. That's by at 25 years a generation, that's 200,000 years. That's what our national anthem should say. Not, you know, this garbage, this tripe about Lady Liberty welcomes with her upraised torch. She welcomes the, you know, and of course, this is not any part of our founding. This is this stupid poet, Emma Lazarus, this idiot. They stuck this on the bottom of the beautiful statue that the French children donated to us. But, you know, bring me your tired, your poor, your weary. I don't remember it. It's not worth remembering. You know, your bedraggled. Bring them to me. No, no, please don't bring me anybody. I like this. This torch is a beautiful torch. It was a salute from the French people to their cousins, the Americans, in appreciation for what we did for France. And of course, we have to have appreciation what France did for us. I tell you, folks, no American Revolution without King Louis the 16th. No American Revolution without him. And he paid for it with his life. And so did Marie Antoinette. But the without the French army and the French fleet and the French king's money, muskets and cannon, George Washington was toast against the strongest army in the world and strongest navy, the British. It was only that the second strongest navy and second strongest army, King Louis the 16th, was on our side. And at Yorktown there, when Cornwallis surrendered at Yorktown, the majority of the troops surrounding the British were what? They weren't my proud, you know, the heart of George Washington's army was the Scotsmen from out of the hills of Virginia. There was no West Virginia then, but out of those western hills of Virginia were the Scotsmen, the Scots-Irish, tough people, the Ulster Scots. But those weren't the majority of the troops surrounding Cornwallis and the Redcoats. It was regular French army, which had landed off of the French fleet, which was blocking Yorktown from the British fleet, which couldn't get in because a bigger French fleet had sailed up from Haiti, the French colony in Haiti. So it's not taught too much in school. And certainly American history isn't taught at all in school anymore, which is one great reason to yank your kids out of where they say, we don't need no education. Boom, boom, boom. I try to play the song. We don't need no mind control. Teacher, leave them kids alone. Folks, homeschooling, it's the way to go. I'll tell you, the schools have gotten bad. But Dr. Kelly, thank you very much. Nobody knows it better than Dr. Kelly, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to, I want to see what else we got in the caller board. Okay, Dr. Kelly? Let's take a look here. John in Rancho Cucamonga, I assume, hasn't made it back in. Wayne in Texas, are you there, Wayne? Come in, Wayne.
Yeah, hi, James. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I'm feeling pretty good about the whole thing. How about yourself?
Well, I don't feel too good about some things that I've been uncovering, and that's why I wanted to call, and I know time is short, but I think one underreported story that really needs to get blown up with everybody contacting relatives and whatever is the fact that in late January, early February, the Senate Intelligence Committee had a hearing and a closed-door discussion about this corona problem and how big it was going to be, and there were four senators who, after that meeting, sold a collective value of $11 million of stock, okay?
Yes, that this was Senator Burr, Senator Burr of North Carolina, Senator Loeffler or Leffler of Georgia, newly appointed by the governor. Right. There was Senator Feinstein of California, and then who else was there?
I think it was Inhofe out of Oklahoma. I think he was also one of the ones fingered there, but But here's the thing that really is not being discussed is if this was late January, early February, these were not the only four senators that knew. They probably told their associates who told their associates and on. I have to think that by the second week in February, this was common knowledge that this horrendous event was coming as far as the economic problems we were going to have. And the fact that there was very little discussion in Congress or in public and no warnings from senators or congressmen, any of us, I think that really should cause a lot of questions to be raised. I know in my mind it does, because if we would have had another 2, 3, possibly 4 weeks to all get prepared for this, I think there'd be a lot of businesses still open and a lot of hospitals and a lot of this chaos would be really nowhere near the level it is now. So that's okay. Where I think these...
That is a very sound, defensible view, Wayne. But do you mind if I, just for the sake of argument, offer another line of reasoning?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know who it was. One of the senators that was in that Senate Intelligence Committee session hearing at which Dr. Fauci spoke, he said, this is my memory of what went on in that hearing. He said, it was not a hearing where we were being told that Armageddon was here and that a big epidemic was coming. We were not told that. He said the nature of the briefing was this. There is a flu epidemic in China, and it could do this, it could do that, we don't know. And he said it was just on everything, it was, we're not sure. We're not sure, we're not sure. So, and you could imagine back then, remember, this is at a time when, almost nobody had died from this thing outside of China. And so guys like Fauci were not, and my point is this, is that Burr and Leffler and Inhofe was a good senator. They were not votes patriotic. They were not being told, the sky is falling and, there's a catastrophe coming up. They weren't told that. Now, so I'm giving you a counter.
Alarmed enough to sell $11 million worth of stock. That tells me there was a lot more inside knowledge to the whole thing than what you're discussing.
Let me give you the counter argument. When you sell stock, okay, let's say I have $1 million worth of stock, and don't worry, folks, I never will. I promise you. But let's say I had $1 million worth of stock. There was a time when I did own stock, actually, long ago. Oh, the days. Anyway, I was a day trader. Okay. You know what that is, don't you?
Yes.
Wayne, yeah, a day trader. What does a day trader do? You, in a course of a day, you will sell, you could sell your whole portfolio on Monday, buy it on Monday, sell the whole darn thing, cash out on Tuesday, buy in again on Wednesday, and sell out again on Thursday, and then take Friday off. I mean, that's not uncommon for a day trader. And it doesn't mean, and so to sell $1 million worth of stock, all it means is this is not a big consequential thing. I have $1 million worth of IBM stock, let's say. And I go in on my trading account and I cash it in. So I exchange it for money. And now I have money. I had stock in the morning and now I have 5 minutes later, I have cash in my bank account. Now, that people who own stock are doing this all the time. Now, for those people that were in that hearing, obviously they were being told there was a cloud on the horizon. And what a stock trader does, it doesn't take much to spook stock traders. So you hear this, you hear that, you hear this, this is hot, this is cold, this is on the rise, this is on the fall. Always with stocks, always. And this is all you do with stocks. You're trying to anticipate the future. You're trying to look into a crystal ball. Is my stock going to be up tomorrow or down? And thereon hinges whether I sell or buy. So these people sold their stock. Okay, I think that's prima facie evidence they had concern about the economy. I think that's prima facie.
They broke the law.
Well, hang on. I've heard that said on TV, but I've heard another very astute legal scholar say, no, they didn't. There's no law. There is a law against insider trading, but it's very specific. That law requires that you have inside knowledge from a board of directors of a corporation on what the corporation's going to do, and you have that inside knowledge, and on that basis you buy or sell. That's insider trading. Having a briefing or a meeting where somebody says, I think the economy is going to go to hell. I think the economy is going to boom. I think there's this coming or that coming. I think there's a lot of oil over in North Dakota. Buying or selling on that basis is not a crime. None of those senators committed a crime. Their problem is one of public perception. And so they're being roasted. I know I saw them roasted by Tucker Carlson, who I love. And I saw them roasted by Jeanine Pirro, who I love. Maybe even more. I don't know which I love more. And they were both, all those senators were roasted, you know, for, you know, high crimes. But I disagree with Gene, and just as I'm disagreeing a little bit with you, Wayne, or not you, Wayne, Wayne. And I'm disagreeing with Tucker and Jeanine. And here's the point. I think it was a bad time for Tucker and Jeanine to spend time on their show trying to get rid of three Republican senators who all vote with Donald Trump. Burr is an ass. Burr's an idiot in North Carolina. But he's always voted with the president. And so has Inhofe and so has Loeffler. So they, you know, if they get run out of office, three Republicans gone, and guess who owns the Senate? Chuck Schumer. So I think they can
reappoint other senators for the short term until the next election. But if these people are disingenuous, dishonest crooks, then they need to go.
Because I think they
forfeited the lives of a lot of businesses and people in this country.
Well, no, okay, there, you're making an important case here. And this is, you know, this is like high school debate. You know, I'm taking the opposite side here.
Well, Burr sold $1.7 million worth of hospitality stock that he knew was going to get hammered.
Hang on, he wasn't very concerned. Okay, but hang on. When you say he knew was going to get hammered, no, I offer the thought. No, he didn't. He was worried. He was worried that they were going to go down, not get hammered. They were going to go down. You sell when it's going to go down. He was worried that it was going to go down. And that he's entitled to do that. Every stock purchase, I mean, senators, you know, they know a lot of things. They see a lot of things. I mean, everything they talk about, it affects the market, everything. So if they couldn't sell or buy based on their concerns in the course of their daily business as the most powerful people in the country dealing with the most inside, you know, or like, let's say, pertinent information, then they should simply never go near the stock market or any other kind of, investment, any kind of investment, even real estate. So they didn't commit a crime, and they didn't know. And let me go on this also. They didn't cost a lot of people their lives. They didn't. If that's the case, then Dr. Fauci, you know, cost a lot of people their lives, because he wasn't saying we're going to have a huge epidemic. He was not saying that to that intelligence committee. He was saying there's a worry on the horizon. There's a bad virus in China, doesn't look good, and we're watching it. That's all he said. It may come here, it may not. That's what he said in that intelligence briefing. I heard one of the people who was there say that. And so they didn't have inside, you know, knowledge. We know this is going to go up, this is going to go down. They didn't. And they're I'm saying that this is one of the things that we as Republicans, and I'm not accusing you of this, Wayne. I love you. I'll tell you what. I love Tucker. I love Jeanine. I love you even more. Don't blush on me. We as Republicans are quick to, take jabs at each other. I mean, I guess, am I doing it right now? No, actually, with you. Whereas the left, they are far more astute at gang behavior, at pack behavior. And so they're constantly looking around at each other going like, what's the party line? What's the party line? They're, you know, constantly trying to stay with the party line. And it really serves them well. We have a distinct disadvantage in an asymmetric warfare with them because we're such individualists. What I'm saying right now, I think this is the wrong time to try to run Loeffler and Burr and especially Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, who's a patriot, to run him out of office. Because they did not have inside knowledge that, you know, America was about to be overrun with a, I mean, none of us did. 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, you and I didn't know where we would be today. And I'm having to spend my time on the air here watching the data. And if I'm wrong, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying this is not worth getting hysterical about. But if I look at my numbers here on the board, and instead of seeing 400 dead Americans, I see something like a standard flu, which would be 40,000. Well, I'm gonna change my tune a little bit. And if I saw something that was more than a standard flu, if I saw 120,000 dead Americans, which is three times the average flu, then I'd shut up. I'd still say it's not worth shutting the economy down for it, but I wouldn't be saying, hey, well, okay, Wayne, if it's okay with you, and I didn't give you a chance to rebut me, and you always have a ticket to this show to come back and rebut me. Can we go to the president right now? I'm trying to get a clearance from Wayne to go to the president.
Sure.
Oh, okay, great, Wayne. Thank you, buddy. And
take care.
I apologize for disputing with you on anything ever. Because you are one of the smartest people that's ever appeared on this microphone. You put me in the shade, Wayne. So let's listen to the president. Here he is, folks.
As we continue to marshal every resource at America's disposal in the fight against the Chinese virus.
We've got a little break. We'll come back from the break right to the president. Oh, the show's over? Oh, my gosh. Well, when you're having fun, time flies, folks. We'll see you all tomorrow night. So long for now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.